For the rest of us, if you would turn with me to Isaiah chapter 29, we're going to read verses 13 through 16. We are entering Thanksgiving week and we'll be celebrating Thanksgiving on this Thursday. As I was thinking about that this past week, you know, Thanksgiving is a form of worship. True Thanksgiving is a form of worship. And things have, over the years, gotten really messed up in a lot of areas, and one of those areas is true worship. I was thinking about the holidays, you know, Thanksgiving and Christmas and New Year's, and I was thinking about the stores and everything that's out and the things that people put out on their house and in their yards in the different seasons. I was thinking about the fact that Halloween has become something that people go completely extravagant for Halloween. And it's horrible what that holiday stands for. It's horrible. Okay. And then I was thinking about Thanksgiving. In our culture, Thanksgiving is almost getting forgotten. I mean, yeah, you go to the grocery store and they've got a special on turkeys for Thanksgiving because turkey has become the symbol for Thanksgiving, you know. But you go in the stores, it's not even Thanksgiving Day yet, and you go into the stores and you see Christmas stuff already out. And when I say Christmas stuff, I'm not talking about true Christmas stuff that praises God. I'm talking about Santa Claus and everything related to the world system and what they believe Christmas is all about. And so it frustrated me, and I just wanted to give you that background of what's been going on inside of me. And then, so this title I'm about to give you came out of that. And the title of this message is Vain Worship. Vain Worship. And the Word of God actually has a lot to say about it. But I tried to keep my message pared down today and get the point across. Because my intention is, if I don't get going in the Spirit and get preaching too long, I want to allow a time for at least a couple of people to have opportunity to come up if you want and share a testimony of what you're thankful for. So you might want to be thinking about that at the end of the service. So if I don't preach on too long, that's my intention. But let's talk about vain worship and let's think about what it is to get back to true worship. Beginning to read in verse 13 of Isaiah 29. The Lord says, these people come near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Their worship of me is made up only of rules taught by men. Therefore, once more I will astound these people with wonder upon wonder. The wisdom of the wise will perish. The intelligence of the intelligent will vanish. Woe to those who go to great depths to hide their plans from the Lord, who do their work in darkness and think, who sees us? Who will know? You turn things upside down, as if the potter were thought to be like the clay. Shall what is formed say to him who formed it, he did not make me? Can the pot say of the potter, he knows nothing? Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for your word. Lord, watch over your word to perform it today. as it goes forth, don't allow it to fall powerless, but Lord, bear up your word and manifest your word by your Spirit. We pray that our hearts would be open and our minds would be receptive as well today to this word. And Lord, I pray that you put a watch on my mouth that I would only speak that which is ordained by you today, not a word more or a word less, and all to your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. So, as we really think about all that's in this short text I just read, God really has a lot to say through the prophet Isaiah about worship there, doesn't he? First major point I want to look at is many hearts are far from God. Unfortunately, even people that attend church regularly or sometimes, unfortunately, many of those people, their hearts have ended up far from God. Now, how can that happen? Well, it happens when people get caught up in religion instead of relationship. When people get caught up in religion, it's a lie of the enemy, and get focused on religion. What did he call that in our text? He's talking about those that are wise, the wisdom will perish, and the intelligence will vanish. He said, worship being made up of rules taught by man in verse 13. That is religion. Worship made up of rules taught by men is religion. Okay? Says, we honor him with our lips. It's very easy for us to talk a good game, isn't it? Isn't it much easier for us to say what we know to be right? Much easier than living it. We can speak all kinds of things. We do all the time. But are we living it? He says that we come near to him with our mouths. We're giving him lip service. But is our heart really his? Have we sold out to him? Is he truly our Lord and Savior? And a result of that, are we worshiping him in spirit and in truth? For the Word of God tells us, those are the worshipers that God is seeking. Those that worship him in spirit and in truth. If we are not careful, our worship can develop into rules taught by men. We can get caught up in denominationalism. Get caught up, but many have gotten caught up in denominationalism. That has replaced relationship with Jesus. Now, just because I said that, and just because God spoke to us when we planted this church over 20 years ago, that we would be an independent church, not part of a denomination, just because of all that, it's not that I have anything against denominations per se, but I do have against those that are woke and have turned from God and are worshiping according to rules designed by men. Am I making sense? That I oppose. I don't, in and of itself, oppose denominations. But I oppose denominationalism where people are caught up in... I've seen it, okay? Here we are, guys. Kids reach eighth grade. We got to get confirmed. We got to get through confirmation class. And we got to get confirmed now, because this is what we do. It's religion, or if you're in a system that does confirmation, or Another system would be profession of faith. Oh, my goodness, it's that time. And there's a whole group, a bunch of my friends are making profession of faith. So we get right on the bandwagon, get right into denominationalism and get in line and get up there and go through the motions. But nothing ever changes in the person's heart because their heart wasn't really given to Jesus. It was given to what the denomination said they were supposed to do. Am I making sense? All of those things then become vain worship and fallacy. And please understand me, don't misunderstand. I know that there's probably some times that go through that. Sometimes there are young people that mean it. And I'm not saying that. But I'm also saying that there are also times that there are those that are just going according to man's plan and going through the motions. I know that's true. I've been walking with Jesus for 41 years now, and I know that that's true. I've seen many things throughout the years. I've seen a lot of people, for example, in this 20 years that this church has been existed, I have seen many people that have come into this church over the years, for example, and were in all kinds of different denominations, raised in different denominations, but for the first time in their lives had actually come to the altar and gave their life to Jesus Christ. And I'm not saying that's the only way you can get saved. You can get saved all along. But what I am saying is I have seen people come to this altar and mean it and give their life to Christ, and they got born again and have said to me, "Oh my gosh, I never understood this. I went through confirmations classes. I was confirmed, and I did this and I did that, and because it was expected of me, but I didn't know Jesus." So I've seen this myself over the years. So we need to talk about this, even though it makes some people squirm and it's not popular, maybe. But we need to talk about this because listen, if you guys are new, some of you are new here and you don't know me that well, I'm just here to tell you I'm a realist. Is that fair to say, guys? I'm a realist. I call things the way I see them. Sometimes maybe I see it wrong. Okay, I'm imperfect. But I call things the way I see them, and I try to let God lead my life, and I just try to do what He's called me to do, and I try to challenge the people that God puts under my care as a shepherd to do that same thing, just surrender to God and just let Him come into your life and be Lord and Savior of your life. So we need to be careful not to get caught up in rules taught by men, but living by the Word of God. A lot of things, you know, can cause us to do that. Tradition. Now, and I'm not saying all traditions are bad. Actually, we've lost a lot of tradition in this nation, and those traditions were good things. Okay? And we've gradually been, some good traditions in our lives are being stripped away. So I'm not putting down all tradition, but if we're just worshiping God out of tradition, we have missed it. Also, flesh worship. Here Jesus is talking to the Pharisees in Matthew 15, verses 8 through 9. He's talking to the Pharisees. He says, "These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me." That sounds familiar. That's exactly what was spoken that we read in Isaiah in our foundational text, wasn't it? Jesus said the same thing. "These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain." Now that's Jesus that's saying that. "They worship me in vain. Their teachings are but rules taught by men." He was talking to the Pharisees there, but that can relate to all people through all time. That can relate throughout time. Those statements are timeless. The Pharisees added a lot of man-made laws and rules to the Word of God. Okay? I used to know, I can't think of it now, but I used to know how many laws they had added to God's law. It was crazy. Like, for instance, you couldn't do any work, not even heal anybody on the Sabbath, according to the Pharisees. And Jesus was like, watch this. Just watch this. Because he made it clear, he's the Lord of the Sabbath. Okay? But yeah, so we really need to check ourselves regularly, guys, that we are truly worshiping God in spirit and in truth. That we're not just caught up in man-made things that are vain worship. Secondly, I want to talk a little bit about God's works. We see God's works in verse 14 of our text. He said in verse 14, I'll read it again just so we're fresh in our mind. He said, therefore, once more, I will astound these people. With wonder upon wonder, the wisdom of the wise will perish, and the intelligence of the intelligent will vanish. So in other words, he will strip the wise, those that are wise in their own eyes, of their wisdom. We need some of that. Right now, we need some of that. There are all kinds of people in our world that think they are wise. One of them is Bill Gates. There are others. I just read something he had just said, about AI and his prediction of what it will be 5 years from now. And I don't know what you guys all think about AI, but I don't think it's going to be a good thing. Okay? I don't think AI, when it comes to its fullness, is going to be a good thing. Maybe you're a techie and you think that it will be, whatever. You can disagree with me, that's fine. Jesus didn't say, thou shalt not AI. So I'm not saying that. But the potential of what AI can do in this world, I think it's a big risk. You know what I'm saying? He said he'll strip the intelligence of the intelligent. It seems that there is a demonic, supernatural intelligence that people have right now, some people, to work evil. Have you paid attention to that? I mean, they can't be doing this stuff on their own. It's got to be a demonic intelligence that they're given. You know, Satan can do that. He's not all powerful, but he can do that. So he's speaking of worldly wisdom and intelligence, God's works. He said, therefore, once more, I will astound these people. I say, come, Lord Jesus, astound these people. Astound these people, Lord. Astound us. Shake people to the core of their foundation. Shake us, Lord God, so that we come back to you and leave the deception of this intelligence. That is evil. That is leading to the whole AI So that's what God says he's going to do. Then man's work, verse 15. Man's work. I want to read that again. It says, woe to those who go to great depths to hide their plans from the Lord. Are you at least somewhat aware of all the backdoor deals and backdoor things, closed doors, things that are going on in this nation and all over the world, even between world leaders, that's going on behind closed doors right now? Guys, we are living in some pretty crazy times. To hide their plans from the Lord, who do their work in darkness and think, who sees us? Who will know? Boy, that relates today. Shamefully hiding plans from the Lord. Leaders hiding behind closed doors and twisting things and doing what they do. Doing wrong works in darkness and thinking, who sees us? You know how people get to the place where they think that? They get to that place because they've turned their back on the all-seeing God. When they no longer believe in God, then they no longer believe in all-seeing. When people come back to Christ, they then again will believe that God is all-seeing. He sees everything, no matter where we hide. David said, where am I to go? You knit me together in my mother's womb. You were there. If I go to Sheol, you are there. It's hard to fathom God being in hell, isn't it? But he is omnipresent. They say, who will know? Our God is also all-knowing. He knows everything. Not only from the time it happens forward, but he knew everything that was going to transpire throughout time on this earth before he even created this. He knows the beginning from the end. And everything in between. He is all-knowing. He knew when he laid the foundations of the world that we would be here, every one of us, this morning. He knew when he laid the foundations of the world that I would be standing here preaching this message right here this morning. He knew when he laid the foundations of the world everything that is going on in every one of your lives, your struggles, your victories, he knew it all then, knows it all now, and always will know it all. Because he is God and we are not. He is all-seeing and he is all-knowing. And as born-again believers, we welcome his all-knowing and all-seeing presence into our lives. And we stop trying to hide things from God. You know what causes people to hide things from God? Sin. We don't even have to look any further than the origin of sin. When Adam and Eve fell, when they took from the forbidden tree in the center of the garden, talking about the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. When they took of that tree and their eyes were opened, the first thing they did was find something to cover up their nakedness. They wanted to hide themselves. They were no longer comfortable with being naked before God. Think about that. Ezekiel 33, verses 30 through 32. Ezekiel 33, verses 30 through 32. beginning to read in verse 30. As for you, son of man, your countrymen are talking together about you by the walls and at the doors of the houses, saying to each other, come and hear the message that has come from the Lord. My people come to you, as they usually do, and sit before you to listen to your words. But they do not put them into practice. With their mouths they express devotion, but their hearts are greedy for unjust gain. Indeed, to them you are nothing more than one who sings love songs with a beautiful voice and plays an instrument well, for they hear your words but do not put them into practice. Guys, this is the case with many, unfortunately, Christian leaders as well as parishioners today. This is the case with many today. Sit, hear the words, feel good. Well, I've been to church. But go out the doors of the church and never put what they've heard into practice. It's a problem. It's a problem. And that happens because of religion, which causes us to begin to compartmentalize our lives. Well, on Sunday, when I'm with the other believers at church, then I look and I act this way. But on Monday, when I'm not at church and I go to work, then I dress this way and I act this way. Because, see, we've got our lives, we've divided up into different compartments. So we act this way when we go to, let me snag something. Wait, oh, here's a good one. When we go to a class reunion. Hello! We go to the class reunion, we get together with some of the old buddies we haven't seen in 40 years, and the stories start flowing, and the trash. You know, it amazes me how much many times people haven't changed. The same ones from the class that always thought they were better than everybody else still think they're better than everybody else. Some things just don't change, it seems. So then we act like we do in that crowd too often, instead of, if we're born again believers, living that in front of people and letting our light shine, instead of being influenced by them, influencing them. See, it's us, believers, professing believers, born-again believers, that are the light of the world. Okay? Because God lives in us. God is the light of the world, right? But He lives in us. And so then, with His presence in us, His light shines through us. The problem is, today, that too many people end up compartmentalizing their lives. Listen, guys, if we want anybody to take us serious when we want to witness to somebody, we don't have to be perfect, but we darn well better be the same person on Monday that we are on Sunday. And we better be the same person on Tuesday that we were on Sunday and Monday. And we better be the same person on Wednesday that we were in the early part of the week. And Thursday, we better be that same person. And we better still be that same person on Friday and Saturday. On Saturday, 6 days after we've been to worship, we still better be the same person that we are when we're at worship on Sunday, or people are going to look at us and say, bogus. You want to be a witness to the people in your circle of influence, be the same person every day. Whether you're in church or whether you're at work, whether you're at work or whether you're in the store, shopping, wherever you are, be who God has created you to be. Because otherwise people look at us and say, phony. And you know what? They're right. They're right. Many years ago, I used to work with a guy that professed to be saved. But I want to tell you something. He sure had a lot going on when we were waiting at the time clock to punch in that I don't think had much to do with the Word of God or godly life. You hear what I'm saying? And so we pretty much all, I wasn't saved then, we pretty much all laughed at it. So I've seen it from both sides. I've seen it before I was a born-again believer, and I've seen it since I've been a born-again believer. So we have a responsibility as believers to study God's Word, to hear God's Word, sit under the preaching of God's Word, the teaching of God's Word, but we also then have a responsibility to put into practice what we know. God's answer in verse 16. He said, you turn things upside down, as if the potter were thought to be like the clay. Shall what is formed say to him who formed it, he did not make me? Can the pot say of the potter, he knows nothing? We turn things upside down as if the potter were thought to be the clay. When religion comes in and replaces relationship, then one of the many things that happens is we then begin to form a God in our image instead of being the person that God formed in His image. When we fall to the temptation to start compromising in our lives. You know, in the beginning, the road of compromise is an easier road. Notice I said in the beginning. Because it's not down the road. But starting with compromise leads us down that road to religion. That's the devil's plan. That's the devil's game. He don't want us to be able to reproduce. He don't want us to truly worship God, because where there's true worship going on, there is the presence of God. And Satan hates the presence of God. Where two or three are gathered in His name, Jesus said, there I am. True worship draws the presence of God. Shall what is formed say to him who formed it, he did not make me? Hello? Darwinism began, if I remember correctly, in 1858. In 1858, Darwinism hit the scene. Out of Darwinism came evolution. Evolution, the theory, evolution has only ever been a theory. Should have never, ever been taught as fact. It is only theory. Young people, listen to me. Evolution is a lie out of the pit of hell. The enemy orchestrated that through Darwin so that people would believe that instead of the truth, which the truth is intelligent design. We have a creator. His name is God, the great I am. We have a creator. Darwinism plants the seed that we don't have a creator. Darwinism says there was a big bang. Poof. There's man. Now, I want you to stop and think about this for a minute, guys. There, I'm sure, innumerable people here, if we took an intelligence test, that would score much higher than me on an intelligence test. I have no doubt. I would not be the brightest candle. But guys, evolution is harder to believe than the truth.
That's right, yes.
I would have to have more faith to believe that than to believe there is a God and that He created all this, including man. That takes less faith to believe the truth that God created the world and everything in it, including man. To believe the biblical account takes way less faith than to believe that there was an explosion and poof, it's all here. And if evolution was true, why is it not still happening? But that has become pretty successful because it was put into most of the school systems. I was taught evolution. Were you taught? I was in the school system I was in. I was taught evolution. I also went to Sunday school. That was pretty confusing to me. Anybody else? Because the Bible said it this way. My Sunday school teacher said, God created man. My Sunday school teacher said, and the Bible said in our Bible stories, that God created the earth and everything in it. But I go to school and I'm being taught nothing about God. Oh, and by the way, don't pray anymore either in school. Take God out of the equation and teach the kids that there was a big bang. And it was all there. Oh, and by the way, it took millions of years instead of 6 days. Well, if there was a big bang, that can't take millions of years. Like I said, I'm not the service knife in the drawer, but I'm smart enough to figure out that ain't right. So we're seeing this passage. Boy, does it relate to now too, or what? Shall what is formed say to him who formed it, he didn't make me? That's what evolution says. That's exactly. Evolution by design has done that. But it's a lie. Can the pot say of the potter, he knows nothing? A potter fashions a pot with his hands. You ever look at a potter's wheel? Have you ever worked on a potter's wheel? How many of you have ever seen or worked on a potter's wheel? I have too. That was one of the things we were taught in art in junior high when I was in school. So I did a little bit of stuff on a pottery wheel. By the way, I wasn't very good at it. Just being honest, I wasn't very good at it. What was in my mind just didn't seem to get on the pottery wheel the same. But God, when it came to man, wants to focus on the way, God's amazing, the way he saw to it that this was in his word. God spoke everything into being. He said, let there be light, and there was light. He said, let there be a great expanse, and let the waters, let earth come up out of the waters and divide the seas. And he spoke, and it was, and he spoke, and it was, and he spoke, and it was, and he spoke, and it was. But when it came to man, he fashioned man with his hands, just like a potter on a potter's wheel. Think about that. And then it says it this way in his word. I'm like, Lord, you're amazing. So he fashioned us with his hands. And I'm here to tell you, our potter, he knows all. And he sees all, guys. So he is worthy of our praise. This Thanksgiving, guys, when we gather together, don't forget to pray together with your families and praise God. Don't allow it to just become another turkey day. And I really like turkey dressing. But I don't want that to be my focal point. Our Thanksgiving should be to God. And Thanksgiving is a very important holiday. And it makes me sad to see it fading into the distance, being choked out by Halloween, and the falsity of what Christmas has become. I have a couple of things I found I want to close this message with. I already went longer than I intended to. Listen to this. A minister was riding a streetcar in New York and passing a very nice church. Sat next to a rider who said, if these Christians would stop building fine churches and give their money to the poor, it would be much more to their credit. I've heard of similar remarks before, was the minister's reply. And the guy next to him said, by whom? And the minister replied, Judas Iscariot. It didn't work, did it? Judas Iscariot had the same thing to say. And he betrayed Jesus. I have one more. It's entitled Worship God or Henry Ward Beecher. Many years ago, Thomas K. Beecher once substituted for his famous brother, Henry Ward Beecher, at the Plymouth Church in Brooklyn, New York. Many curiosity seekers had come to hear the renowned Henry Beecher speak. Therefore, when Thomas Beecher appeared in the pulpit instead, some people got up and started for the doors. Sensing that they were disappointed because he was substituting for his brother, Thomas raised his hand for silence and announced, all those who came here this morning to worship Henry Ward Beecher may withdraw from the church, and all who came to worship God may remain. Who do we come to worship? find that pretty sobering. Who do we come to worship? If we are coming for any other reason than to worship our one true God, then we've got something wrong in us, and we need to get it right. If the word of God is being preached, even if the word of God is just being read, when the word of God goes forth, our God watches over his word to perform it. So then, it don't really matter who is in the pulpit when we gather together. Because what really matters is, are they bringing God's word? Is God's word being read? Is God's word being preached? Beyond that, it don't matter who's in the pulpit. It don't. It's about God. Don't want to be worshiping Mr. Beecher's brother. I thought that was pretty point worthy. Amen? We worship a good God. And let's worship him in spirit and in truth as we give him thanks this Thanksgiving week. Amen, guys?
Amen.
Let's stand together. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. In Jesus' name, amen.